All right, I am joined here in the studio with Superintendent Erica Klutpainter and the District School Board President Sarah Holmgren and Board Member Megan Litster. Hello, everyone.
Hello.
I think I have all your mics on. So we have a school board meeting tonight, and it's actually not going to be in the normal place that it's been the last couple years at the Borough Assembly Chambers. It's going to be in the high school library, where it used to be, right?
Yes. Actually, for years, when I was first here, it was always in the elementary school library. And then when the radio station started broadcasting regularly, I'm trying to think when that was, actually. I'm not even sure. But anyway, when it changed, you know, to that venue so that it could be a live broadcast, then it was down at the Assembly Chambers. And so I know that Joe and John at the school have been working on figuring out mics and broadcast ability, and
we will be broadcasting, and he'll be carrying over mic stands and cords and
fun.
But you know, it should work out. It should be just fine. All right, looking at the agenda, it seems rather short, but there's a lot of people's contracts coming up. I don't know how much you go through that at the meeting, but several department heads' contracts are up. Is that going to be just kind of a
It's pretty much every
vote?
Year. Yeah. They're all on one-year contracts, so it's reviewed every spring, and the superintendent does her reviews with the staff that are not part of a union, and then makes the recommendation to the board to approve them if that's what she feels should be done.
And all of those positions seem like they've been in their positions for a while. You've got the principals and then the finance director, main instructor, probably missing a few, but
yeah. And the food service, Carly's on there, and Mrs. Littleton in the office now.
She's the newest
on
one.
There.
Yeah.
Yep. She's the newest. And then, yeah, Mr. Dormer and Mrs. Tolan. So we've got a full round of people, which is good.
Okay.
Yeah.
In terms of just the staffing at the school district and the budget at this point, which we can get into in a little bit, but is it too early to tell if you're going to need to make new hires in terms of the student population, how much funding you're going to get in terms of per student funding, and the how many kids are going to be enrolled? When do you actually get that information?
Well, that's the tricky part of school finance that I'm learning more and more about. That you really are making decisions now with really no clear idea how much revenue you're going to have, because the state still clearly has not made a final decision about base student allocation. They've not made a final decision about TERS legislation. It sounds like at this point that PERS legislation is off the table, but who knows? And even with the TERS, it's kind of been set aside, but it keeps kind of surfacing.
That's insurance for teachers and public officials. Retirement. Sorry.
Yep.
That's what I meant.
Yeah. For, you know, the state system of retirement. So that's been a tricky one, because there's been a lot of, they're wanting to kind of push back that responsibility onto the actual districts. And actually with the PERS, even on local, on the hospital, on the borough, that sort of thing. And it's a state funded system. And so, I guess I could say out loud, people can like that system or not like that system, and there have been changes made to it over the years, but the obligation is still there. So pushing it back to municipalities is, does not seem like the right thing to do. It's really not the right thing to do. It's their obligation is to do what they said they were going to do. And they talk about that being a cut, that they're cutting the budget by doing that. It's not cutting the budget. It just pushes it back, to the local communities. And school districts don't have any ability to raise money. We don't raise money. We then, if we need additional funds, we have to make additional cuts, or we go talk to, our local assembly and our local government about that, because that's where revenue comes. We don't run levies here. There are states that do that. We don't do that. So it's a huge issue. And I think it was a way, to be honest, of them kind of deflecting the issue into an area that people maybe don't understand, or maybe that's easier to chew on. Like, it's easier to talk about retirement, stuffy retirement systems, rather than talking about, we are not going to hire, you know, a kindergarten teacher because of funding cuts. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
It's more,
yeah,
that's, I guess, easier for people to chew on, you know, maybe.
Well, they have less than a week. I think they're supposed to, the regular session is supposed to end on Sunday.
Yes.
But
no,
that, you know, if anybody's been paying attention to the news, there's not much decided at this point.
No.
So it may be, what, into the summer before you actually have an idea?
It's possible. Okay. I mean, it was even last year, they went into two additional sessions, and it was June before we really had a final answer from the state. So that was summer last year. So I look for it. Yes, I don't look for it to be this spring. I could be wrong, but I don't. I think they're still dealing with the revenue conversations, you know.
Yeah, I want to think that we passed our budget. Was it at the June meeting last year? I'm thinking it was.
It was.
We didn't have a choice to pass it sooner than that, not really knowing.
Exactly. And
or likely, we made an amendment, maybe it was in June.
Yes.
Because we passed it anyway.
Mm-hmm. We went forward. Mm-hmm. And likely that's what will happen now. I mean, I think right now we're slated to deliver a budget in June as well, because we could do it now, but we're really basing it on...
you just don't know.
Guessing.
Yeah.
It's
very much...
So for teacher staffing anyway, are they pretty secure? I think I read that there would be a new fifth grade teacher, but I don't know if one was leaving.
That is actually a new position.
Okay.
And that's based on numbers of students at this point. And we are making a leap on that one. The other two positions that have been posted, there's one on here that's being up for the board to consider, which is a language arts Spanish position. That is a replacement. And they are also currently, the committee's also currently working on a, trying to hire a math teacher, which is also a replacement for Ms. Lindley. So there's two replacements and one addition right now. The high school, there are also some concerns and some needs in the special ed area, but we're holding right now to, we have a little bit of flexibility with Ms. Whitstock, who actually does some teaching in addition to test coordinator and special ed director, which is a hugely full plate. We'd like for her to be able to do maybe two jobs instead of three, because those requirements keep shifting and changing from the state and the feds as well. And so she's pretty buried, but we're kind of holding on that.
In terms of class size and stuff, I guess adding a fifth grade teacher means there's just too many students. There would be too many students in a classroom if there wasn't an additional staff person.
Yeah.
Was there a specific number that you try to stay under for class size?
There's not a state number here. In other places I've been, they have done that. You know, maybe like in a primary grade, they might say, you know, you can't go over a certain number, but they haven't done that in the state. We, as a local district, have some thresholds we like to hold on to if we can. You know, we try, especially in primary grades, try not to have those, you know, be 25 or something. But even this year, I mean, our kindergartens are both
23.
You know, they're all full. Every class at the elementary school is full, and we're looking for another full group coming in, which is great. That's a new trend here. The last 2 years of increasing numbers, which is exciting. So they were very full this year. We were really, as a district, fairly... There's some understaffing, and that's been an issue.
Well, I have a daughter in kindergarten, and it seems like there's pretty much been an aide or somebody helping almost every day I've dropped her off, which has been nice, I'm sure, in a class with that many students, 22 or however many there are.
Yeah, trying to provide that support with our support staff if we can as much as possible and move them around. And they're, of course, amazing, too, just trying to cover as much as we possibly can. So, yeah.
All right. Well, one little item, I don't know if I should call it little. I mean, it's big for the students that might be going out of state, but it's not a new program. The Close Up for Washington, D.C., the principal of the high school wants to get approval for next school year to take a group to D.C. What do you think about that?
Yeah, every spring, because they alternate Close Up 1 year and then most recently the music group that goes out of state to compete. And they go on alternative years, and they have to request this time this year because the fundraising almost starts immediately in the fall because it's so expensive to do those trips. Close-up has been going on for probably over 30 years because I went when I was in high school. And it was going on before I was in high school. So I would say probably 40 years at least is what I could come up with.
So it's a program that's it's supported by the district.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I think community-wise, they see the value in it. For some kids, that might be their only trip ever east to see the nation's capital. So, and I know the last few years they've stopped. It's been cheaper to fly into Philadelphia and get a commercial bus, like a charter bus, to take the kids to D.C. so they get the added day in Philadelphia to go see some historical locations, Liberty Bell and a few other places before they head down there. And plus, it's a little cheaper. So,
and close-up is, it's like a national program, isn't it? Mm-hmm. I was in D.C. the last couple of years, there was groups of school kids from all over the country, and it's really a neat opportunity for them and see kids from other places too.
Yeah.
So
see the federal government up close.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And all those historical points.
Mm-hmm. I noticed on the agenda that the board was going to be looking at just activities for April and May. Is there anything you wanted to touch on that's I know there would be prom coming up.
It's like we've got exploratory night coming up at the elementary school.
Oh, yeah, that's tomorrow night.
No school on Thursday and Friday, but staff, or at least teachers, not classified staff, right? Just have an in-service, so they'll be working. Kindergarten registration coming up on the 21st, and a high school spring concert on the 26th, and then prom on the 30th.
Yeah, it's busy.
Yeah, and then off through May to graduation.
It's amazing too.
Tonight at the board meeting, they're going to have some music from elementary school. That's going to be fun.
Yeah, that's right. I think we're doing a little teaser of Little Kids Rock before their exploratory night. So yes. I think Mr. Sullivan is bringing, and maybe Ms. Conn, I'm not sure, but Mr. Sullivan might be bringing some kids to do a little performing.
Oh, well, good. I'm glad we're airing the meeting.
No, that'll be fun. I know some very excited fifth grader.
Oh, good.
That'd be awesome.
I also wanted to ask this. This is not on the agenda, so I have no idea if it will actually be addressed. But in the local news this past week, there's been a petition by high school girls, a petition starting to circulate about the dress code for the high school, and specifically about stretch pants or what are yoga pants, and they feel like they want to wear them, and the dress code that the district has is you can wear them, but you need to be covered to mid-thigh with something like shorts or skirt or a shirt, something like that. And they were sending the petition around the community, and some people signed on, and some of the people that support the petition are saying that it might include body shaming for girls in the high school. Is that something that the board might take up, or is that strictly just a school issue?
Well, the board policy does cover what's appropriate or what the dress would be, whether male or female. And then from there, there is what we call an administrative regulation, where at that point the policy is set, and then the superintendent or principals or certain designee carries out that. And so they determine. So at this point, what their petition is addressing is more the AR, not the actual policy. If they want to see a policy actually change, they would need to go through a different channel, which is coming to a board policy meeting and requesting a change in the actual language of the policy. I can see where some people might be concerned, but they also need to look at the history of why this began back in 2007.
It's been a few years ago.
Where we did have students, young ladies, coming to school in similar dance attire when they were something that they would normally wear for their ballet class or their jazz class. And quite a bit of it was see-through, so that it wasn't just simply the fact that it was leggings, it was the fact that they were see-through. So there's a history there that some of these young ladies don't realize, and that, to be quite honest, just walking around town after school at times, I can see through a lot of these young ladies' leggings. It would be a similar situation if a young man was wearing shorts and you could see through them, whether they're loose shorts or tight shorts. If you could see through them, I think it's inappropriate. School is in essence a job. So you are going to your job, dressing like you should be going to a job, and we're preparing these kids to go out into the workforce. And I would guess that 9 times out of 10, most employers are not going to want to see cropped shirts or tight or loose see-through shorts from whether it's men or leggings from girls, or see-through skirts or shorts for girls, whether they're loose or tight. I don't think necessarily the tightness was the issue. It was more of the fact that you could see through a lot of this material because they're really dance material, the ones, you know, for the history of it. Unless we want to get into, you know, I think what it does is it takes away from, we're here to educate. Do we really need to be debating? Can we just all agree, whether it's male or female, don't show up in your wrestling attire, that's for wrestling. Don't show up in your dance attire, that's for dance. Don't show up in your swimsuit, that's for swimming, or volleyball, that's your volleyball uniform. Let's all wear clothing that you would go to a business and work at if it was, and that's what you're doing. You're coming to school to work, you know. And so I would think it is, whether they're coming to KFSK, whether they're going to the pizza place, whether they're going to an office in town to work, would you wear that to those environments? And if the answer is no, then that's what you need to think. Then I shouldn't be wearing that to school. And I think if we all just had that mindset, maybe some of these debates would get resolved sooner rather than later. But it's really, I think it just happened to be a group of young ladies in 2007 started showing up with their dance attire that you could see through. So something had to be, you know, we didn't have a group of boys showing up with shorts that you could see through. If that had been the case, then something would have been written for them to deal with it. But it just happened to be that particular gender got the ball rolling on this. And so then, you know, it's good to revisit ARs. It's good to revisit board policies, absolutely, to see if they're still in line with what we feel is appropriate for the community at large, what's appropriate for kids. So I certainly don't... want to discourage any time a kid feels like something is not okay with them, or they say, hey, what about this? Because sometimes it's the new thoughts, it's the new views that get everybody thinking again. Mm-hmm. And it's okay to do that petition. There are avenues to go through, and we absolutely encourage it, because not only does it teach, it's a teaching lesson for them, but it's also an exercise in democracy of saying, I don't agree with this. Let me see if I can get it changed. And how do I go about doing that in a civil, respectful manner, which I think is the avenue that they are on.
I was going to say is that the last little part there, I think it's great for young people. I know in my youth and in my adulthood, I've had things I feel passionately about that I think I want to affect some kind of change. And what's important for kids and adults alike to remember is that there has to be some follow through. So I hope that anybody who's interested or feels passionately would think about how they can do that in a meaningful way that might get them a result or a compromise. And so while the petition sparks people's interest, what may be their next step? You know, is there room in this for some change? Quite possibly. But if all we hear is the petition and then nothing else, we don't really know exactly what it is we're being asked to do. So I'm hopeful that anybody who is interested would maybe really think about that more deeply, maybe put pen to paper or come together as a group, whether it's student council or a separate group, where they look at, okay, what's reasonable? I think even children and young adults agree that there's things that aren't reasonable. So maybe they could think about, what is that? How would we expect our administration to determine that difference? And what would be a proposal moving forward so that we could look at it and say, yeah, this is reasonable, or let's compromise. So, that's the same thing I do as an adult, whether it's in the workplace or, a law that I'm passionate about. I'm in the process of doing that right now. You know, just those are the steps. So I think it's great for kids. It's, like you said, a great exercise in democracy. It's great for people to get passionate about things. But if it's really important, let's follow through with what could be a reasonable solution.
And I could speak a little bit to what has come since then, speaking of the process itself, I guess. So the girls that did feel strongly about this and had come to Mr. Dormer a couple weeks ago initially, and then that's one of the things he had talked with them about mm-hmm. too, was, you know, getting asking for a little more information, input from even business owners or people who might have want to weigh in on that topic. That's been good. And I know he's received quite a bit of feedback, actually, mm-hmm. which has been helpful from business owners, from parents, relatives, even some former students who, you know, have gone through school and now are in college. So that's been kind of interesting, too. So he's gotten a lot of different feedback that way, which is great. The group of girls had kind of organized and is much smaller at this point that they kind of have a spokesperson. And they did request to have a meeting with Mr. Dormer. They asked if I could come to it. At this point, we are trying, as Sarah just said, I think it's important to try to, you know, it's a school level thing right now, because again, nobody's trying to stop them from having a conversation about it. So mm-hmm. I think they're understanding that maybe change doesn't happen just like that. You know, we want mm-hmm. this to happen. We're that's it, you know. So there's a process, and I think they feel that they are being heard, and they did come with kind of some kind of a proposal of their position, if you want to call it that, I guess, last week to Mr. Dormer, and I was there as well. And I'm not sure, you know, they may end up with maybe they do a small committee, maybe it does go through. It's great. It's a good discussion. I think it's excellent. I really do. I'm sorry. I think it's good. It takes time. All these things take time. But if they really think that it's an important topic, then you got to look at all the sides of it too and mm-hmm. hear the other sides and, well, maybe we could give on this or maybe we could move in this mm-hmm. way. And, you know, because exactly. a lot of things have come up actually that maybe that were even unintended, you know, some conversations about, well, the tightness of pants, jeans, I don't know. There's a whole bunch of things mm-hmm. that have actually come since that policy was written. So I don't know. They might get a little more than they.
Ago. Yeah. Yeah. And it's not just the last thing we want to do is body shame anybody, whether it's a man, a boy, or a girl.
Objectifying anyone.
Yeah. So mm-mm. I think so being sensitive to that. Absolutely. But it's also, like you said, policies are written 10 years ago. Times change. Clothing changes. Mm-hmm. You don't know what. We might go back to grunge in a few years and we're telling boys, pull up your pants. We can see your underwear, you know.
Yeah.
You know, I think that was an issue back in the 90s.
It was an issue.
You know, it was the boys that were.
Yeah. But it's not a bad thing for students to be thinking about it. Mm-hmm. And when you start reading, you know, well, let's actually read it. What's it actually say? Oh, sometimes you realize, and I've had this experience quite recently, like, oh, I might agree with something the way it is, and I didn't realize it until I found out why, you know. So
yeah, it's good.
I think it's great for the kids to be talking about it, and
yeah, it's good.
And maybe it will come to the board in the future, mm-hmm. but right now I see what you're saying. It's kind of in the school system right now.
Mm-hmm. And I think it should be. I mean, I think that's where it should be. That's their voice, and that's it's their environment, you know, and that, like, on a daily basis, I guess. So it's important for them to feel like they're working
with
the
right people. Yeah, it doesn't really naturally affect the K through 5th and middle school maybe a little bit. So it makes more sense at this point. Kindergartners don't care. Not this, nor should they at this point.
Mm-hmm. Well, the meeting is tonight at 7 at the high school library. Anything else that we needed to touch on before we go?
I don't think so. Well, I could say one thing. I don't know. I will say it tonight, but just to recognize Miss Etcher and Mr. Dormer for they pursued a state grant for a suicide prevention grant that actually we had for 3 years, and this was our final year. And they made the decision, or we made the decision, to reapply for another 3-year cycle. And they worked really hard on it, and it was submitted at 3:50 on the date when it was due at 4:00, and we got it in. And anyway, we just received notice that we did get that grant. So there's been a lot of good work there, maybe mm-hmm. some future work in the Green Dot program, and, you know, continued support with collaboration between us and mental health agencies with WAVE. Anyway, we're really excited. So 3 more years.
Yeah. Awesome. Good work for them.
Yeah. Well, thank you all for joining us today, and we will see you at the meeting tonight.
Thank you.